Before I hand back to Paul to lead us, we have some notices to give out and some bans of marriage to read. And the first notice concerns a ladies' breakfast on the 17th of June. Do go along to that at St Andrew's. And then on Thursday of this week, we have our messy church, and that's at 3:30. And have a word with Margaret afterwards if you want more information, or you could offer to help. The third notice concerns the Serenata Singers Concert in aid of CAP, Christians Against Poverty, and that's at St Andrew's on the 17th of June at 7 o'clock in the evening. I published the banns of marriage between Jack William Pullin of this parish and Rihanna Elizabeth Longstaff, also of this parish. This is for the first time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why these persons may not marry, you must tell me about that. Thank you.
And just a reminder, we have lunch after this. I think there's wonderful people in the early church who ate together with glad and generous hearts. So if you can stay for lunch or go back and bring it, or if you don't have any, Ken usually assures us that there is enough to go round. So all are very welcome. That will be at 12:30. Of course, every worship service is a service of healing, but the powers that be in our parishes here felt a sense of having a special service today for healing, whether for yourself, whether for somebody on your heart, whether for a particular group of people, a country or whatever. There's a huge need for God's healing, and in this Holy Communion there's wonderful words which some of us will know, that our bodies made clean by his body, our souls washed through his most precious blood. The very communion is a healing. Our souls washed through his precious blood, cleansing of our whole being. And we shall also have an anointing of oil for those who would like it. There's a wonderful scripture in Mark 6:13 that Jesus sent out his disciples in twos, and he sent them both to cast out demons and to anoint with oil, and many were healed through the anointing. Who knows what healing can come to us this morning in this service together. So we have these words from Psalm 103, and they're such wonderful words. So we'll stand together, if you are able to, please, and we'll say together these words, beginning, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle's. So who knows what healing will come to you, through us this morning, to others. That is a wonderful way of approaching healing in our service together. And our opening hymn is a wonderful hymn, lovely to sing this one, not either at a funeral or at a wedding, just in our worship. It's love divine or love's excelling. And there's wonderful words, visit us with thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Salvation, healing are very close together. So we sing together, love divine. One thing about heaven is we don't pray for healing. We're lost in wonder, love and praise. Just stand for a moment, Lord, come upon us in this healing service. Come as the great God of compassion. Come as the God who wants to reach deep into us, mind, body, spirit, touch us. Touch those on our heart, touch the world around us. Breathe afresh your spirit into us. Praise your holy name. Amen. Would you be seated, please? Just going to have a very short time of further stillness. I learnt a lot about healing when I was a member of a prayer healing in the Diocese of Coventry. And three words, which I think we're going to have brought up on our screen, this is beautifully done, stillness of body, tranquility of mind, peace of the spirit. The stillness of the body, let's just begin with that for a moment, and just as we're seated, to breathe, if we can, a little more evenly, and just allow the tensions in the muscles to flow down and away. Almost see them, feel them flowing away from you. Maybe this morning it's the first time, perhaps for some of us, just to have been still. Our bodies to be still, stillness of body. Just breathe a little more gently and deeper. And we move on to tranquility of mind. It may help to close your eyes, fill the mind with light, pushing away the shadows of anxiety and of worry. Just gently push them away. Filling our minds with the light of Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am your light. Stillness of the body, tranquility of mind, peace of the spirit. Just pray quietly to God in your own way, using words or just not using words, maybe just opening our hands a little more just to receive that peace of the spirit, God's great spirit, our own inner spirit. God filling us afresh. As we remember, Lord, your presence with us, offer ourselves to you in faith and hope and love, both for ourselves and those on our hearts. We believe in your power both to heal and to save, praying that your will be done in us and through us. In this time together this morning. And we sing together, we've got two songs. We'll stay seated for the first, and then we'll stand for the second one, which Lois will play one after the other, but we'll sing each one through twice. First of all, feeling the touch, your hand upon my life, and then secondly, giving thanks, which is so much at the heart of healing, whether you feel anything or whether you don't, whatever's happening, giving thanks to the Lord. Would you be seated, please? And we're going to have the word, which Andrew's going to read. And come up, dear Andrew. Thank you. And we're going to have a pause halfway through the reading, which Andrew, it's a long reading, longish reading, and we'll pause and we're going to sing a beautiful Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, and Andrew will then read the second part, then Jeff will be sharing God's word, and then Margaret will be coming to lead us in prayer.
The first part of the reading from St. John, chapter 11, the death of Lazarus. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see this world by light. It is when a person walks by night that they stumble, for they have no light." After this, he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go, that we might die with him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Jesus comforts the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once again more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Then Jesus said to him, "Take the clothes, the grave clothes off, and let him go." This is the word of the Lord.
I have to confess that when faced with preaching on this particular topic, I was quite troubled. I did a lot of research and read a lot about it and actually prepared a sermon that's quite technical in a way, talking about healing. But as I went through it over and over again, I became convicted that what was needed was a testimony about healing, which is what I believe God wants me to talk about this morning. And it's linked to a song that I want to play you. So, Andy, if we could jump to that picture of the lily right at the end, that's great. The testimony, really, it's about my mother. Ever since she was about 20 years old, my mother suffered severe bouts of depression and deep anxiety. And this would often land her in hospital, sometimes for a very long time. When I was about 8, she spent 2 years at Springfield Psychiatric Hospital in London. And the only thing that ever seemed to work for my mum was a particular treatment, which you may have heard of, called ECT. And it involved the administering of an electric shock to the brain, mercifully under general anaesthetic. But it worked miraculously with my mother. From the depths of depression, she would come out of hospital perfectly normal. And this really puzzled me as a child. And she'd have 2 to 3 years of perfectly normal living. She was a devout Christian. My dad was a vicar and she served in the parish when she was well and could get up and give talks to different groups of people. But after about 3 years, she would go down again. Now, we prayed. We prayed fervently, passionately for her healing. But this went on right throughout her life for 70 years until she was in her 90s. And when she was in her 90s, the doctors said they could no longer give her this EC therapy because it was too dangerous. So they stopped and they put her on some other medication. Well, her kidneys began to fail and she was admitted to the Royal Surrey Hospital. And I was told that she would not survive. So I went and I sat with her for quite some time. And she was really very restless. But early one morning, I decided I was going to play her some of her favourite music. I played her favourite hymn on my phone, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And it seemed to calm her right down. And the next song that happened to be on my phone, I'd forgotten even that it was there, was a song by Robin Mark called "Outrageous Grace." And I think he called it that because the song tries to say that God's grace goes much, much further than anything we can suffer in this life. And I played this song to my mum. I let it play. It begins with the words, which struck me very powerfully at the time. There's a lot of pain, but there's a lot more healing. And I want to play you that song. And it taught me a few things about healing. It taught me, first of all, that medical healing can sometimes be as miraculous as miracles of healing. That God can use even quite shocking treatment, literally, to heal people. It's no less from the Lord if it comes through medicine, even though medical healing can sometimes be quite painful. It also taught me that all healing this side of the grave is temporary. I was very struck by the story of Lazarus. Complete healing does not come this side of the grave. It comes with the resurrection of the body. It's very interesting. Lazarus If you compare his raising with the raising of Jesus, it struck me Lazarus came out of his tomb still wrapped in his grave clothes. Jesus left his grave clothes behind. And there is a sense that although we've become alive in Christ because of his death and resurrection, we still have our grave clothes. We are waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Now, of course, the Lord can heal miraculously today, and he does. I've seen it happen. But the Lord is very, very close to those who are broken. And one thing my mum always said was, you think that when I'm in hospital, he's not there with me, but he's more there than anywhere else. So let me play this song to you. The words will come up on the screen. They're a little bit dim, the words are. But if we could play that, Andy, I'm not quite sure how to start it. I think you click the... That's it. It starts quite...
There's a lot of pain, but a lot more healing. And there's a lot of trouble, but a lot more peace. And there's a lot of pain, but a lot more loving. There's a lot of sin, but a lot more grace.
Let's try that again from the top.
There's a lot of pain, but a lot more healing. There's a lot of trouble, but a lot more peace. There's a lot of pain, but a lot more love. There's a lot of sin, but a lot more grace. Not more grace. Oh, our faith is grace. Oh, our faith is grace. Love unfurled by heaven's staff. Oh, but a lot more freedom. There's a lot of darkness, but a lot more light. There's a lot of clouds, but a lot oh, wow.
So there's a lot of pain, but there's a lot more healing.
A lot of
mother
pain.
Went to be with the Lord with those words. Here she breathed her last. We're going to turn to prayer now. Margaret's going to come and lead us in prayer.
This is all right, but I have just been moved to share our testimony with you. Many of you who are here will know about our son James, who was 14, and we were at Spring Harvest. And his friend came up to us and he said, James isn't well. And cutting a long story short, we decided to come home early because he obviously wasn't well. The doctor the next morning sent us straight to the children's ward at Worcester Hospital, where he turned very, very poorly. And we had a message in the early hours of the morning saying they were blueing and toing him to Birmingham Children's Hospital. I leapt in the car and shot to Worcester and followed the ambulance all the way to Birmingham Children's Hospital. There was a bit of an issue because we had to wait for surgery. They told me he needed surgery. So the next morning was Sunday morning, and the consultant came to me and said, we have a slot. Your son has got pneumococcal empyema, which is when the fluid on the lung turns to pus. We need to operate immediately. And as they wheeled him out, I said, he's going to be all right, isn't he? And the surgeon said to me, we'll do our best. I rushed out with my phone and phoned Peter and said, get the church to pray. They've just taken James to surgery. And all you lovely people here on a Sunday morning prayed for our James that morning. And as I sat in his room waiting for them to bring him back from surgery, that song, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord, came into my mind. And I sang it there. He comes to cleanse and heal and minister his grace. And it was at that point that I prayed Hannah's prayer. And I said, Lord, if James survives this, I give him to you. Many of you just know that now our son James is a minister in the International Presbyterian Church in Hampshire, where he is serving the Lord. I'm sorry if that's added time to the... I just felt as we were here that I should share that testimony with you, because it is amazing grace that he was healed miraculously through the surgeons that morning. So our prayers this morning will follow the theme of the service, healing. There will be quite a few silences.